Okay, welcome back to episode 4 of Too Complex. Today we're joined by special guest, Barbado Joe. Is that what we want to call you?
Sure. If you're talking beard stuff, I'm Barbado Joe. Others might know me as Mr. Ayers.
So how did you get the name Barbado Joe?
I chose it.
is it like your middle name?
No. Joe being a very common name, and Barbado or Barbado, as it should be pronounced, but I go with Barbado, just means bearded in Spanish. So it's bearded Joe.
Oh, do you speak Spanish?
Pretend I do. Yeah, I speak a little bit. I read a lot better than I speak it.
Yeah, no, that's like literally every German class. I'm like, I can understand anything the teacher says. As soon as there's a video of anyone else speaking German, and it's like,
yeah,
what?
Way
what
too
do
fast.
You say? Yeah, no, it's
way too fast.
Yeah, it's just hard to understand. So where did you get the inspiration for your beard channel?
I'll make this quick and brief. There is a guy whose beard product I bought. His name is Texas Beardsman. And I really enjoyed his product. And so I just decided to do a review of his product just to get more people to tune into his stuff. And then that kind of got me doing beard reviews. And then I branched out to the name of the channel is Barbado Joe's Beard Culture.
Yeah.
And so while I like doing the reviews, I wanted to do other things. So now I do this thing called United Beards of America, which has been very popular. And I just released today a new one called The Road Less Traveled. So I have my reviews, but I actually have two other content kind of, I don't know what you would call them, series, other content series. And the United Beards of America ideally goes 50 episodes because it's one per state.
One per state.
Yeah.
Are you trying to travel to every state to do them? Or?
I can't. There's no way. Yeah. But the premise is talk about some basic facts of a state, talk about some cool trivia facts of the state, talk about local food from the state, and then interview one or two beard people from the state, like beard company owners or people from the beard community. And so you just kind of have this 15-minute episode that's kind of got all that stuff with like music and accompanying photographs, and it seems to be pretty popular in the small niche beard community.
Well, I mean, your channel's going pretty quickly.
Yeah,
so
it's okay. I think I hit 108 subscribers, so I'm just knocking them dead out there. But it's fun. It's cool. It's not about subscribers, not about any of the other stuff. It's just a hobby. It's about what?
Beards.
It's about beards. But, you know, it's creative. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, I was writing raps and recording them, and my creative energy has to go somewhere.
Yeah. So you do a lot of like film stuff where you did in class.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried your hand at filmmaking?
Well, it's funny you say that. I did the intro for this new thing. I did do some filming. Here, we'll let your people listen to the audio, and you guys can watch the video of this thing I just introduced. All right. So this is my new series called The Road Less Traveled, and it's about looking for beard scents that are very unique. Oh, God dang it. It'd be nice if I knew how to use Instagram too. Very unique and not so in the ordinary. Give me to my, there we go. Okay. So here's the audio, which will be me and some music. Hold on. Let me make sure I got my stuff up. But you'll see me doing some filming and editing in here. Maybe.
If it works. I can't help you with Instagram. I don't have one.
Help me, so. Victor. Oh, okay. So let's restart it. It was merely a volume issue. This is riveting radio, guys. I'm sorry. Let's try that again.
My name is Barbado Joe, and I'm a dude with a mission.
Gotta find it. I've gotta find that one scent.
Motivated by thirsty beards that want a little variety, I am going to comb this bearded planet in search of scents that are new spins on old notes or totally off the beaten path. No mountain is too high, no forest too thick, no sea too deep to keep me from the road less traveled.
So there you go. So there's some actual like filmmaking motion and stuff like that. So that's fun.
So I have an idea for your YouTube channel. Once you're done with the United Beards of America, you should go to the former Soviet states.
Yeah.
And try beard stuff from there. And well, make
the beards of Uzbekistan and Tajikistan.
An interesting thing you learned was like, I'm sure, you know, Mr. Rios is going to kill me for this because I'm getting it all wrong.
Okay.
But it was something like post Peter the Great Russia. There was like a law where like everyone had to cut off their beards or something.
Really?
Because or like maybe everyone had to grow them out. It was something law with like all the people doing beards because it was like Western culture or something.
I believe it in just – I've only done three – well, I've done 7 or 8 states of research, but I've only recorded 3 of the United Beards of America. But just in those 7 states, I've encountered 2 states that had beard laws. I believe it's Virginia. In Virginia, you have to actually, allegedly, by the books, to grow a goatee, you need a license and to pay for that license to have that beard. So I believe that there would be beard.
If you, like, travel into the state, if you, like, pre-register.
You know, it's one of those jacks and that's obviously not enforceable. Also, you can't tickle women legally in Virginia. I don't know why you would ever want to tickle a woman you don't know anyway, because that's ripe for all sorts of problems. But yeah, so all those weird kind of laws and customs. So I totally see Peter the Great kind of.
Yeah. Have you found any like weird laws in PA?
No, nothing in PA.
I've actually got a weird beard law that since I used to live in Minnesota, there's this town up north
Metairie. Called Brainard.
Yeah.
Go ahead, keep
and
going.
They alleged there's a law. I think I think it might be a rumor. It could be true, but. It was said that every man in the town must have a beard, but I'm pretty sure it used to be like a law like back in the day in like the 1800s, but it's been removed since then.
Somebody who was trying to help me out threw that tidbit at me, and I did some research into that in Brainerd, Minnesota. So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So speaking of men having beards, Victor and I are both very not. I have never shaved. This is no hair here.
Like you guys are young.
Well, no, my uncle, he's probably about 40 now. He shaves like once a year.
Okay.
And the tiniest.
So just the genetics.
Beard. I don't know. But my dad has this huge, like, huge beard because he has, like, Hispanic heritage.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously, when you look at me, you can't see any of that. But believe me when I say I'm 25% Hispanic. My sister looks much more like it than I do. I think you'll be having her in 2 years.
Okay.
But,
your last name gives it away, but it could be Italian just as easily, too. That's what I assume is that you were Italian.
No, it's actually Hispanic.
Okay.
But yeah, so I don't know if anything's ever going to happen here. Well, let's say it does. What do you think would look best?
I'd have to see you flesh out because you're still young. The baby face. But I'm all for going, you know, they have this thing in the community called a yeard where you grow your beard for a year, okay, with only like doing minimal trims or what have you and seeing how much you can get out of that year and then choosing your style, which is, I've noticed my growth has kind of slowed down. So I'm probably not going to get much more than this. I'm not going to get one of those huge, like, you know, Duck Dynasty beards. But I'd be all about that. That'd be also interesting to see if they would support that in an educational environment, you know, because that's a big bias. I hear from a lot of guys in beard community is depending on your job, you can't wear a beard or they get on you for it because there's still this negative sort of imagery about men with beards. Like there's some, even though we had all these great presidents in the 19th century with a bunch of them, right?
I mean, I will admit you walk into your class first day and I'm like, oh, Jose Aries, this guy's going to be fun. And then you walk in, you're like, hello, class. It's like, oh, geez. I mean, you warm up to you really quickly. But right. In the beginning, it's like, oh, no.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a legit thing or not. But yeah, there's definitely some bias to the idea of like being unkempt or slovenly or perhaps even like thievish if you have a beard. You know, some negative stereotypes.
You should start like a change.org thing to like, more beard rights.
I'm amazed at some of the beards I see in this school from guys your age or even a little older, you know.
Yeah, do you have David the one day, I don't want to say his last name, but do you have the
I do not have a bearded fellow. I have only seen bearded fellows in the hall.
Oh, only in the hall?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some kids in our group with like
who
were starting going out a year ago and I'm like, how does that even work? Like
That's really interesting because genetics, the older you get, the more you're supposed to be able to grow. Just if everyone were on an even playing field, age helps you grow, and then genetics comes into play.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I was saying earlier, once you finish United Beards of America, you should go to the former Soviet states and United Soviet Socialist Beards.
Okay. So
you know the Soviet Union is gone now.
But you know, the former Soviet states. So you go to, like, you know, Ukraine, Belarus, Lithuania.
See, I would want to go to all the stands because those are the ones you really never hear about. Those are the disenfranchised. Are they Asian? Are they European? You know, there are a lot of them are Muslim in their worship practice. So those are the ones that really kind of fascinate me because, you know, Ukraine, Belarus, Georgia, I know about all those guys. But all those stands, those are the ones that make me interested.
Yeah, we had a map. We had to do like map quizzes in history.
Yeah.
And we had to learn all of those. And it was like, what the heck is an Azerbaijan?
Right.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's no map, so I can't point it out, but that's like the only one I know.
They've got a crazy leader. I know that I saw some, I don't know if it was Vice or John Oliver, but I saw some news report and he was just, and they got like a ton of money. They had this like wonderful complex. He wanted to bring some kind of games there, like some sort of second or third rate Olympic games.
Yeah.
Like, well, for the region.
Asia has like an Asian game.
Yeah, maybe it was that. And he just had this huge complex, but like no one came. And he's like this, I guess, I don't know enough to be quoted on this, this dictatorial kind of guy, but interesting fellow, dresses in military garb sometimes, I guess. But yeah, that's the only thing I remember. And on some soccer jerseys a while ago were, had Azerbaijan as our sponsor. You know how soccer jerseys, you,
yeah, they were sponsored. Don't talk to me about soccer.
Okay.
I know, I've seen.
Yeah. Stuff, and it's like Azerbaijan, like Ring of Fire, something. So like the Azerbaijan Tourism Board actually was sponsoring some soccer teams, trying to get people in Azerbaijan. Good stuff. What about Turkmenistan? How about any of the people out there? Do they know about Turkmenistan or Kyrgyzstan or however you pronounce those?
I think it's like, the history teacher was just like, if it looks like a chicken and it sounds like a chicken, then it's a chicken.
Right.
But if you're too far off.
Right.
But he was just like, it was like a J and a G. And
yeah,
like
it's a tough
eyes.
One. There's no vowels. Yeah, there's no, well, it's like K-R-Y-Z-G. There's just no vowels in there that we are comfy with. Is there an I in there?
I think there might be an I.
And Borat, Borat is Uzbeki, right? Or is he Borat, the comedian, Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah.
He either hates Uzbekis or he is Uzbeki. I can't remember.
I think he was from Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan, and he hates Uzbekis. Yeah, that was the running joke, that Uzbekis were below Kazakhs. It's a great show. You got to see that show. You got to see Ali G was the show, and he did all these different characters.
Okay.
I've seen segments.
Yeah. Borat was the best. He went into an Arizona bar and sung this highly in, now understand that Sacha Baron Cohen is Jewish.
Okay.
But he goes in there under the auspices. He's got this deep foreign accent. And like we as Americans will tend to be like, oh, okay, it's okay if they're kind of culturally boorish because they don't know things in America. So he gets up on stage and starts singing this horrible country western song about throwing Jewish people down a well. And then starts engaging in all these cultural stereotypes, and this entire bar starts singing along with them. It is uncomfortably, amazingly hysterical because you're like, oh my gosh, this is any town USA, and they're just all singing this random anti-Semitic song.
Didn't Sacha Baron Cohen play the guy in Hugo, the station?
Yeah, he did. He plays the same guy who played the station.
That's right,
with the leg.
With the leg, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, he's a very good comedian. I'm a fan of his comedy.
So like, speaking of Hugo, how do you decide which films to show in your class? Because there was like such a wide variety.
Hugo was Miss Morris. She wanted, you know, because she comes from that big film background. And for I try and keep it at four because the idea is that Mrs. Kapek and I try and do the same amount of films so that there can't be any sort of problems with kids taking Miss Kapek versus my class. So we try and keep it. But for Miss Morse the year, I figured we'd go one more. So she chose Hugo. The other four were basically the three criteria are they have to be interesting to you guys, so interesting to a 21st century viewer. I have to, if they're rated R, I have to easily be able to edit them so that they can be PG-13. And they have to be worthy of analysis. You know, they can't just be random, like, popcorn movies that you burn an hour and 40 minutes on for the heck of it, right?
Yeah, no, I thought they were really interesting. I liked it.
Good. I'm glad. And I have my senior class coming next year, so when you boys come up as seniors, maybe if it's still going, who knows? We'll see. But that will be 12 accelerated, where it's 9 weeks of British Lit and 9 weeks of film. And there, because you guys would be seniors, I can actually show rated R films without worrying about.
Does that count as like your 12th grade English class?
Yes, yeah. It's your 12th grade English class.
He's like, all the other stuff is like only British literature.
Yeah, well, it's British Lit and sports and adventure, or British Lit and myth. So the accelerated level of British Lit is all choice. And there's like five classes that have been developed. There's a journalism class, but that's not been very popular. So up until my class next year, most kids are taking either British or myth or sports and adventure Lit. And so next year, mine will be added to the mix with the film.
So what films are you planning to show in that class?
Okay, so the textbook for the class is going to be genre-based. So I'm going to keep it around genre-based films. So for a war film, I'm either going to do We Were Soldiers or Apocalypse Now. I want to do some Tarantino. I just don't know how to get him in there. I want to do Hateful Eight because it's the safest one, but there's still some full frontal male nudity in there that I have to deal with, which is problematic. Certain things I don't want to show is like full frontal nudity. Language I can handle except for certain terms. But remember, all I need is one complaint and that really. So I've got to be really cautious. So even though you're seniors and even though you could go see rated R films on yourself or on your own, we're still within the school. So I got to try and do a little give and take. There's a wonderful Korean film. actually a couple wonderful Korean films. One's called Old Boy. I really want to show that. If I don't show Old Boy, I'm going to show Man from Nowhere. Both, I'm a huge fan. And when it comes to Asian cinema, I'm a huge fan of Korean cinema and then Japanese cinema. I want to show Thelma and Louise because I want to get some female protagonists in there. I want to show Black Klansman.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a Spike Lee film and a good film for multicultural and in today's climate, perhaps more relevant, unfortunately, than ever. What else? Comedy. I'm definitely showing The Big Lebowski and all 200 plus F words that are in there, whatever it may be.
Was it like 3 minutes or something?
Yeah,
it's something ridiculous. But the way they're used, see, it's all about how. If I use that word as a verb and I'm very caustic with it, that one usage can stick out more than 200, where you're just saying it like people do in everyday speech, which is how they use it there. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, oh, they said F-word, but once you get into it, they keep saying it the same way that you become kind of desensitized. Plus, you guys use this language, you know, or at least hear this language. So it's not like it's shocking to you guys. So it's just one of those things that it's I think it's the silliest of hurdles to overcome. I'm also want to show the crime series True Detective season 1.
Didn't you like show that last year or 2 years?
I showed that in 10th grade 2 years ago.
Did you like a complaint, I'm assuming, or something?
I got a complaint with 7, which I also am going to show as a senior. I got a complaint with 7, so I switched from 7 to True Detective and just mixed some things up a little bit, changed some things around. Kids love True Detective. Season 3 was recently released. I wasn't too big a fan of 2. Season 3, I wasn't as big a fan, but season 1 is
good. Yeah.
Legendary.
So,
absolutely legendary.
Speaking of movies, what are some of your favorites?
I'm a huge Tarantino fan. I tend to gravitate towards directors and actors. I'm a huge Scorsese fan. Off the top of my head, favorites, Sling Blade, which I'm also going to show.
Okay.
Whiplash, which I want to show. I'm just thinking of like modern films right now, too. It's too many. It's like whatever particular day it is. Glengarry Glen Ross, if you like acting. But that's basically just a play that's been turned into a movie. So it can be, unless you're in the theater and you're into really good performances, so that might be very dry for someone your guys' age. I'm a comics collector, so I love all the Marvel comic movies, the DC comic movies, not so much.
Speaking of like the kind of comic blockbuster type movies,
yeah.
Obviously you don't want to show them because most kids have already seen them.
Exactly.
But if you had to show one, like one of those kind of blockbuster movies, which one do you think would have like the best like analysis to go with it?
I would have to honestly say, because it's standalone and because you could do so much with it, Black Panther. Black Panther is doing some unique things with color. If you were to go back and watch with your eyes attuned to color, in particular purple and I think red, I'd have to go back and see it a second time. But that, then there's the whole angle of, you know, just having this black superhero, mm-hmm. even though he's African, but he is part of an American super team. And then the symbolism within all the different tribes, the idea of having this place that is in a completely impoverished continent, but has this wealth about it, you know. So there's all sorts of interesting things going on in Black Panther. That's where I would go first, for sure.
So do you think these like superhero like action movies, do you think they have like analytical depth to them, or are they just like see people just fighting?
I definitely think they're definitely a cut above like the Fast and the Furious and the Transformers and those kind of franchises.
Oh, no, not Transformers. I never watched it.
I haven't.
My dad like had it recorded or something, and he watched it. And I'm just like, what is this? And there's just one shot. I'm like, this is a like multi-$100 million movie.
Right.
And I saw the shadow of the GoPro they were filming on the side of the car with. I'm like, yo, go back, pause it. I'm like, yeah, there we go. There's the GoPro.
Yeah.
That you can see on the side of the car. I'm like, all you had to do was turn the car so the shadow wasn't directly. I mean, this is,
yeah.
They were bad. They were not good.
Yeah. But obviously, how many of them have there been? 3 or 4? So they're appealing to somebody, right? They're making some kind of money. I mean, that's what Hollywood's about. If you're not making money, they're not going to make the film. That's why we don't see Westerns, because they traditionally don't make money anymore these days.
I mean, you showed The Fall. That lost money.
But it was personally sponsored by, like, the guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's a film geeky kind of thing. And you're right. Tarsem used all of his money to do it or got other investors that he could connect with. But real quick to finish your question, Victor, yes, I definitely think many of those films, I don't want to say all, and definitely none of the DC ones, although I heard Aquaman was pretty good, and Shazam looks like it's going to be good, but it's going to be more funny. Definitely a number of the Marvel films are worthy of analysis, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. So, me? Yeah. Early on in the course, like,
yeah,
it was like the third day, you showed the Finland video.
Yes, yes.
So,
we came up with anything, but...
Has this semester, has anyone come up with anything interesting for that?
Actually, I have 20 more kids this semester approximately than I did last, and I got 3 replies.
3?
So 70 kids, 3 kids replied.
And is there anything like that you're going to implement, or are they just like crazy stuff like no homework?
Yeah, nothing. I'm actually going to use the idea from last semester with the experiments, at least one of them, because I really like that idea.
Are you doing ASMR again?
I don't know if we're going to have the time to do both or just one. We're leaning towards ASMR.
That was uncomfortable.
I didn't really like that. I like putting students in that discomfort, but I also like the cell phone one because it really makes you analyze, you know, if you're true to it, right? And I realize that there's only so much of the honor system, but if you don't honor it, that's a whole nother discussion unto itself, right?
My problem with the cell phone one is that, like, I didn't have much to write about, so that's what I didn't really like about it.
Right, and I know some people don't even engage in social media. I know they're rare at your age, but, you know, I know there are people that don't engage either for because their parents won't let them or they choose not to. So at least with ASMR, you are forced to engage all the students, whereas with the cell phone, you're going to have various, you know, kind of levels of engagement there. So that's why Ms. Morris and I are probably leaning towards the ASMR, for sure.
Yeah, no. One interesting thing that came out of that was I discovered typing ASMR. And I was like, oh, I really like that sound. And then, like, over the holidays, I ended up with some spare cash.
Yeah.
I bought a nice, like, mechanical keyboard. So now I have, like, my own typing ASMR machine.
My keyboard is, like, really clicky. Like, Jackson probably hear it when, like,
I
record
it all the time.
So, like, it's, like, so, like, I just, like, when I'm bored, I just, like, hit random keys on it.
Yeah.
It's satisfying.
See, I think there's some to it. In reading the responses, probably, you know, we had 50 kids. I would probably say about 10%. You know, said they enjoyed the experience or found something enjoyable about it. Now the other 90% were like, ah, right? Yeah. But that's good. I like that too. But it's fun. It's the first time I did it. And I thought it was something that even if you guys didn't like enjoy doing the ASMR that, you know, there were some things to be gleaned from it, you know?
I think it's better than like doing like normal boring stuff.
Yeah,
like.
Right.
It was interesting. I will completely give you it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was not fun.
No.
It was not
fun. It was a good experience.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard to do an experiment in an English class because, you know, we're dealing with sociological things. And we have a sociology class, so I don't want to step on their toes too much in a psychology class. So, yeah, it was good. Good enough that I would do it again based on the feedback I got from you guys.
Yeah, no, I thought it was one of the more interesting, one of the most interesting parts because it was just like, why are they eating so weird?
It sounds like they shove like a microphone down their throat and like recording noises down there.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, with the role playing and then there's a lot of kind of hidden sexual stuff going on there too. There's some definitely
subgenres. Like that video you showed us in class with like the whole like whole day experience thing.
Yeah.
I was, everyone who worked there was like, it's not a sexual experience. And everything I saw was just like,
it was just
but,
weird.
Yeah.
But it like is.
Yeah.
Really, it was really weird.
I mean, even the one girl who has a bajillion subscribers, the Asian gal who eats. Okay, that's her whole thing.
And
she
like
eats
fish and all that.
Yeah, and she only shoots from here down, right? So from her upper lip down. And her mouth is always made up, and she's pretty anyway. And we're focusing on her mouth, and it's all these squishy weird sounds. I mean, there's just stuff going on there where I'm like, okay, there's the ASMR, but there's definitely sub-levels here. Definitely sub-levels if you want to find them. And then there's the whole weird role-playing ASMR, which I just...
What's his name? The guy who works at Bethesda, Todd Howard... Todd Howard traps you in a bathroom stall and like does something.
And this was ASMR.
Yes.
Oh my god.
For a video and I found it and then like I clicked on it and it was like, it was really weird. So I'm like, no, I'm not doing this.
You want to give Todd Howard one more view? That's kind of funny.
Like it was somebody like voice who's like tried to imitate Todd Howard. It wasn't actually him.
Was it kind of like an assaulty kind of thing?
I have no clue. I didn't listen to enough of it.
Didn't your curiosity just make you want to do it?
No.
Just to find out, no?
No. As soon as like one video, like, oh, it's been 10 minutes. No, next.
I just
watched, this is worse now. Why did I hit next?
I just watched enough to like write something about it. So
you and probably most others.
Yeah. Well, the writing thing, one thing that I thought and my parents thought was very interesting Was that for the school or GYT? You can see everyone else's grades. Is that just a side effect, or do you do that on purpose?
No, I mean, I've always never been – I get that you guys – I don't know. I really think we wrap our kids in too much cotton these days. It's not something I would intentionally do. Now, I know there's a way around it, and I've been working on it, but I'm going to be honest. I'm just not – my Schoology game isn't up to snuff to where I can hide all those. I know there's a way to do it, but for a little 8, 10, 15-point score, I mean, I don't care – I don't think it's the world if – Victor gets a 14 and Jackson gets a 10, and you guys know it. Because you know what? You guys are talking about your scores anyway, usually. Mm-hmm. And particularly at the accelerated level, because you guys are competitive. You know, to various degrees, depending on what friend pool you're with, there are different aspects of competition, whether you're competing in a friendly manner against one another or you're competing to get into that school of choice, you know, and you're looking at your overall GPA. There's all these competitive aspects. And it's not like I'm trying to feed into that. It's just one of those things. Totally my fault. But it's not anything that really bothers me because I don't think it's anything horrible, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you guys sing each other's replies and no one ever really like tanks those things. You know, it's not like you're looking at the class and 9 people are getting 2 out of 15 or something.
Well, what was the first one? The first one was a bit.
That one was like I got like a B on that one, I think.
Yeah.
That one's
but like, it's a B. It's still above average. Yeah. I mean, it seems like a B is a C nowadays. You know, everyone's got to get A's. I'm not in this for the grades.
Jackson
you know
would always read mine for some reason. Jackson's like, Victor's, your school GPAs suck. I'm like, how do you know? He's like, oh, I read them.
I don't remember this, but okay.
You were talking about it during lunch one day with somebody else, but whatever.
Mr. Devlin, Miss Morse has been working with Mr. Devlin, and he has a way of being able to do it so you can't see it. And I don't even know that you can see each other's responses. I kind of like – I wish you could see each other's responses after you posted without seeing the grade. Because that would be ideal, is to where you're like, oh, what did other people say about this? Here's my thing. I put my take down. Now I can look at other people that posted. That, I think, is actually
instructive. Well, I think the way you might want to do that is just put the grades directly in the Power School and then like a comment.
Remember the comment about me saying my Schoology game isn't that strong?
That's why I said Power School.
Yeah.
It's technically different.
Well, I know the grades can transfer over, but this I'm sure this is riveting. This is riveting stuff talking about our grade books.
Yeah, Jackson spent the last episode talking about his debate competition and how he lost a bunch of people that they should have won against, and like probably half our audience probably fell asleep.
I'm cutting a majority of that part out.
Okay.
I already started.
Nice.
By the time you're listening to it, it's probably already cut out. And whatever.
Good editors. Editing affects everything, right? Remember when I showed you guys the Happy Shining trailer?
Yeah.
With the music and everything.
Oh, it was like, this is a normal American family staying in a hotel over the it's just like, oh no.
Editing and music, man, two of the most powerful features of any kind of thing. Editing can make you know, it's just like data, how you can twist data into whatever you want. Editing's the same thing. They can completely change the narrative.
What would be your dream job if you weren't a teacher?
I wanted to be a marine biologist before I became a teacher.
Did not see that very good.
Yeah. But my math, and I was absent a lot during high school. I mean, I don't have a high school diploma because I was absent so much. So that's always sitting kind of on my head because I love the ocean and I love marine life. But I mean, I would love to write, but I've published a number of poems and some short fiction. I don't know that I have the discipline to do something like that. I don't know. Teaching really is like, I've always loved to give people information. And whether I'm doing it in a goofy way on my beard channel or whether I'm doing it to you guys, so something where I'm imparting information to somebody, you know.
So, how are you able to get like a job like this without a high school diploma then?
I don't recommend it, number one. I managed to find my way into college. I just didn't get my my bachelorette until I was 32 as opposed to 22, 23 when you're supposed to get it. But you can do it. I mean, there's ways to do it. It's just not ideal, you know, and I took a bunch of years off of school and stuff like that. So, I mean, you do really anymore need a college degree, but back when I was going to school, it wasn't necessary because there were still enough jobs with a high school degree that you could make a decent living for a family.
So like with our generation, kind of like you said earlier, you feel like we're too coddled, but at the same time, it almost feels like, or from what you're saying, it's kind of like there's more burdens in some like academic ways.
Sure.
Because like now if you don't succeed, there are way fewer options. Do you think that these are things that will continue in the future? Like, how you've been teaching for like many years.
This is 19.
19, 19 yeah.
for me.
I couldn't remember between you and Ms. Cooper, like who we taught more.
Yeah.
But have you noticed those things? Like, have you noticed like demographic shifts over the years, like in your classes?
It's what I definitely noticed experientially is you guys have way more stressors on you for getting into school stuff than I ever did in high school. And I would have graduated in 84 if I had graduated. So we're talking about, you know, now we're talking about a 25-year, you know, a generational difference. You guys are thinking about college far earlier. You're doing things like AP classes. I never thought about any of that kind of stuff when I was your age. And maybe the upper echelon kids did, but I just think fewer kids are going to college. Now, that's Southern California versus Western PA. And also that's the Fox Chapel District, where I think that expectation mm-hmm. is a higher percentage, more than 50% of our kids are going to probably go to some advanced schooling, right? So what I see is that you guys come in, by the time you hit 10 accelerated, you're like a clay sculpture where all I'm doing is I'm just refining here and there, right? You're mm-hmm. most, for my subject matter at least, you're mostly whole. And I think you have to be, and I think that has shifted all the way down through the grade levels, because we know that you're going to college. So how the instruction from, you know, like first grade or even kindergarten, I mean, shoot, kindergarten used to just be fun and games. Now you're actually kind of doing work in it. All the way up the ladder is to prepare you for that.
Yeah,
you know?
My brother actually has homework, but like, it's just writing like ABC and stuff like that.
But it's still homework, yeah. Right? It used to be like tag and like naps and story time, right?
Sounds like Finland.
Yes, yeah, sounds like Finland. And they're successful. Maybe we should get back to that, right? Go climb a tree. Tell me about what you found.
I fell. And I didn't climb any more trees.
Yeah. See, there's that wrapped in cotton again.
It wasn't, that wasn't my parents. That was me being like, I don't want to fall again. That wasn't pleasant.
That's my wife. Everything, every time she hears the kids say something or like make a noise outside, I'm like, until I see blood, I don't bat an eye.
Well, my mom is a pediatrician, so she sees everything that goes wrong.
Yeah.
So I've never been skiing. Now at this point, I don't really want to.
Right.
But there was times when I was younger than I did.
Right, right.
But she's like, but for whatever reason, she started letting my sister do horseback riding. I was like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
What happened to the safety above all else?
Right, like, right.
But and my sister like got her toe stepped on. It was like, I told you this would happen.
But see, you can't do the sky is falling for everything, because we could find something bad that could happen just in walking, right? Day in, day out. If you have faulty genetics, you could literally keel over at 18 just walking because you have a bad heart. So anything we do that's fun and physically active, there's always some element of risk.
Yeah, I think we should revert back to single cell organisms to remove all this danger.
Wow, that's way, way, way back from primitive anthropomorphism or whatever you're saying.
Primitive. What do we do?
Anarcho-primitivism.
There it is.
No, but how do you get back to a single celled organism?
I don't know.
Then we're just food for fish and stuff like that.
Do we revert the fish?
Yeah.
We revert everything.
Yes.
We just kill everyone, don't we?
No.
No?
No.
I've heard some people, I don't know whom, but I have heard people mention the anarcho-primitive. Say it again.
Anarcho-primitivism?
Anarcho-primitivism in my classes, like in side chatter, like not when we're talking as a class, or like in those dead times and stuff like that.
It's not an emerging ideology. It's all because of him.
Oh, what?
Now, where do you come up with this? Because this is what fascinated me.
It's an actual ideology. You
right.
Make it up.
Were you exposed to it in class? Did you see it online? Like, how did you?
It's a side effect of the no phone experiment.
No. No way. I do not accept that.
It's a side effect of ASMR.
Well, it won't happen, so I guess I could take some blame for that. But that's why it just seemed like one of those kind of things that you learned maybe in a class that you then dove a little deeper into because the class didn't give it enough time, or that you stumbled across.
No, I was watching, it was in like a middle school, I was watching this video called like Different Forms of Anarchy Explained, and I heard about it, and I'm like, man, this thing sounds pretty cool, and then I kind of returned to it now.
So is it all just theory, or is it being practiced anywhere?
Not that I know, because the people who practice it, they don't have electronics or light or electricity or any of that stuff, so nobody knows about them.
Right. I'm just wondering if, like, you know, like certain, like, tribes, right? Certain native tribes.
I mean, there's a North Sentinel Island, which we talk about in episode 2 of the
I remember you talking about North Sentinel Island.
Of the podcast, where they're basically, it's basically an anarcho-primitive society from all we know, and they've been there for, like, who knows, like, tens of thousands of years.
Right, so Westerners have gotten this label, and they are that label, even though they have no clue that they're that label, right?
Yeah, because they don't know anything.
Right, okay. I gotcha.
So, you want to tell me your urgent plans for world domination?
No, that's in the podcast. So.
Well, I am a rapt listener of your podcasts, and I would hope your colleagues and classmates would be as well. Miss Morris, actually, I turned Miss Morris on.
Oh, no.
And she started listening to one, and then we hit fourth period, but she had started listening to one. So,
yeah.
I get some teacher
lessons. So, would you consider yourself a gamer?
Totally a gamer. So, but I'm an old school role-playing gamer who now kind of does console games.
So, how did you get into gaming? Because, you know, not many teachers I know play video games, and most of them are like, oh, it's a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, there's this issue of arrested development with me that I'm still mentally like 15. That's first and foremost, right? Arcade games came out when I was your guys' age, you know, like the Asteroids, the Donkey Kong, all that stuff. And then that led into role-play gaming. There was this game called Champions, which is basically a superhero variant of D&D. And I was never, I'm never a big fantasy guy, Dungeons and Dragons. I'm never a big fantasy guy. That was like the game back in the 80s, but I'm a huge comic guy. So then I got into role-play gaming and then did other ones. And I always had, like, you know, at some point, whenever the first Sega console was out, I had that. And I had a GameCube and I had the PC and so and went on and on. I intentionally never bought myself an Xbox because I knew my gaming persona. My wife surprised me one Christmas with an Xbox.
Yeah.
And has probably regretted it ever since. Yeah. It's hard sometimes, you know, because I can get wrapped up. I mean, I was playing GTA hardcore until just this last year.
So, how many hours do you think you have in GTA?
Oh, God. I would love to look at my stats. Well over... It's in the months.
Oh.
Let me put you that way. It's over a month. So what is that? 24 times 30? Way over that.
So like 1,000 hours.
Oh, easily. Oh, it's got to be thousands of hours. I haven't looked. Probably because I don't want to. I don't want to have to admit to myself that I've actually poured all that
all
time.
All the teachers blame me and Jackson for playing like video games and stuff.
I'm not a huge gamer.
Jackson, you were talking about you play like Star Wars and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't take up all my time.
Yeah, I only play video games on
weekends.
Yeah, we're always like, yeah, you should go ask Mr. Ayers and talk to him and see how much video games he plays.
And he does until Rockstar ruined Red Dead Redemption Online. So I'm actually not. It's funny because the Red Dead, I was really looking forward to it. And then it has just sucked for 5 months. We're still in the beta. And it has just stunk and coincided with in January me starting the Beard Channel. So
yeah.
So all my energies went there.
We were joking around. We're like, hey, why aren't our essays graded? And then Jackson was like, yeah, what if Mr. Ayers is too busy playing Red Dead Redemption 2?
It has happened. Although not with Red Dead, but it has happened. Although maybe when I was playing the campaign, when I had you guys. Yeah. Maybe playing the campaign it may have cost me a day or two of getting the essays back. For sure. I won't lie about that. I regard honesty as being the highest, you know, characteristic trait. So yeah, it's and I would do what I call motivated grading. I would grade 3 essays. And then I'd get to play for like, you know, 20 minutes or half an hour.
You'd tell us. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I can play one guitar.
Yeah,
here or
yeah exactly. Yeah.
I'll blame Red Dead. You probably died or something. That's why you put like my final grade in. It's a 20 out of 40.
I do not let my any frustration I experience come over to my kids. Separate worlds.
So you mentioned you had a PC, right?
Yeah.
Because me and Jackson are big PC enthusiasts for gaming and other stuff. Jackson wanted to mine Bitcoin.
I tried my hand at that.
Yeah.
And then... As soon as the numbers started turning red and negative, I'm like, nope, we're done with this.
Did you like build a computer or like did you just like,
No. I just bought
you
one.
You didn't like.
No, I was not big into it all. In fact, ever since I became a teacher, the only software and kind of stuff I worked with was all Mac based because that's my school computer. So then we got the phones and so yeah. So I haven't touched a PC in almost 2 decades.
Oh geez,
that's a long time. A long time.
Yeah, I mean, do you do any gaming on your laptop? You still have to be old
now. No. All my gaming is console gaming.
What did you do when you gamed on PC?
What was the last game I played on PC? I would play like I like crime and shooting kind of games. So I was playing like Mafia and SWAT and, you know, things. And my son was playing like Pajama Sam, things like that. So.
Don't worry, any parents listening. He's a great teacher and this doesn't spill over. Only to his choice of movies.
Yeah. True, I do like the crime genre.
Yeah, we thought you'd be playing Red Dead Redemption because of the Western movies.
I love that. Totally, and it's definitely an older audience because guys your age don't tend to like that time period. You know, there may be certain time periods you do like, but that's not one of them. And yeah, I dig it. I mean, it's one thing to be playing GTA and be able to take a jet or a helicopter or a fast car anywhere. In Red Dead, you got a horse and nothing but a horse. You know, so. It's a little frustrating in that regard because you got to ride everywhere, but it's still fun. I love that immersion. They do, man. Rockstar does a great job of putting you into a world, a time period.
Did you ever play Breath of the Wild?
Never.
You should. It's good. It was good.
How old is it?
It came out like 2 years ago or something.
What's the idea of it?
Zelda. It's Zelda.
Oh.
It's the open world Zelda.
Okay.
And it was really...
It's like an RPG
really well
game,
done.
So.
It was really well done. It was just really pretty, and you could play it for very
Jackson
long time.
Jackson is a gaming enthusiast.
I'm more of a tech enthusiast than I am a gaming enthusiast.
Yes, I used to be a tech enthusiast until something happened.
And then you decided technology was bad.
Yeah.
What was the something that happened?
We'll never know.
Well, not even tell
ASMR,
us.
Remember?
He wants to blame me for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you're not a gamer?
I am, but I'm only on weekends and where I stay up to like one playing video games.
Okay. So, what do you play?
I play tactical shooters on computer and strategy games. Like,
okay.
I play like Arma 3 and this like Vietnam War game.
Oh, that would be cool. A Vietnam War game would be very cool. What's the one I see? Oh, shoot. What's it? Ark? Have you heard of Ark?
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's like that. Like dinosaur one. I played it back in like seventh grade and I got like addicted to it for like 2 years.
That's funny.
And then everybody stopped playing it because it wouldn't run. It just stopped running on my 2008 computer.
Yeah, I saw it for, I would see some of my ex-students because I'll friend students once they're done with me in 10th grade on the Xbox, and I would see some of them playing Ark, but that was 2 years ago because they're going to be next year seniors. So they were sophomores when I had them. So I thought it was new. So you're saying it's even older than that.
Oh, well, I played it when it was like early access.
Dude, that Victor, you get to play with Mr. Ares now.
Oh, great. So what do you play on Xbox?
Nothing right now. A little Rock Band. I did have an experience with a student who shall remain nameless that he wasn't my student and something happened in GTA and then he became my student. I was like... But he had an older sibling, and I had killed the younger sibling many, many times. And I said to the older sibling, you know, I just punked your younger sibling, not realizing that it was actually his brother.
Yeah.
They were just hanging out together. They were like in the same crew. So I was like, I just, you know, but I did not use as kind of words as punked. And and it turns out that it was his younger brother, and I had him 2 years later.
I think I know who that is.
Yeah.
I have no idea who this person is.
It's,
and that just cracked me up because he came up to me and said, Mr. Ayers, did you know? And I was like, I did not know that, no.
Since there's a lot of thing on Xbox and like the online game community, there's a lot of people called squeakers.
Yes.
We think like when like squeakers
get... What is this word? I don't know it.
You don't know, like the people go like, "Ree, ree, ree, you killed me in Grand Theft Auto. Mom's going to tell you." Or something.
My mom's
going to
tell you.
Who, like, and then they send like mean rage comments with like lots of words spelled wrong. We'd joke around and be like, yeah, when squeakers send messages to Mr. Ayers, he probably like corrects their grammar on it. He'd be like, actually, that's spelled like this, and that's a predicate adjective.
I only wish I were that civil. No, the teacher side of me definitely goes away. It's alpha maleville when you're playing a game. And if I hear some prepubescent male who shouldn't be playing a rated M game anyway, and his parents are letting him play it, then I just feel he's, you know, he's open game. I don't care if he's 8, 9, 10, whatever. You know, you're in here with me. Yeah, and I have lit some of those kids up verbally. not the best modeling in the world, but they don't know I'm a teacher.
Hopefully the school board doesn't find out either.
Oh, dear me. That's funny. That is funny.
If you could call them the office like a week from now, by the principals, I'm very sorry.
This is all fiction. I'm just writing my next story right here with you guys. Not all of this is not based on the truth. It's all fiction.
It's all fiction.
That's the taking the fifth kind of a variant of taking the fifth.
Oh, geez.
So before we stop, what are the shows that you guys are watching? Because I want to turn you and your audience onto some other shows, depending on what you're watching.
Well, I actually don't really watch much TV. I occasionally watch movies. Most recent movie I watched was Master and Commander, Far Side of the World. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's a pretty good historical movie.
Yeah, not
100%. Not 100% historically accurate, but it's based off of true stuff.
Now, that's, you said Far Side of the World. Is that's the Russell Crowe one, or is this a sequel to the Russell Crowe one?
I'm pretty sure it's the, I don't know if they made a sequel. It's like with like the British ship.
So Russell Crowe is one of the captains of the ship. Yeah, that's a great film. I've seen that film. So you watch HBO, Showtime, Netflix,
Hulu, I don't really watch any TV shows. The only one I kind of watched, like I watched A Band of Brothers a while back over the summer.
Yeah.
And I watched SpongeBob when I was little. And I'm like, my dad just gave me a bunch of documentaries to watch, which is one of the reasons I'm above average human being, because I use my time more productively.
I had a leapfrog.
Before
they had screens, when there was like the pen, like you touched the page, it was
yeah, I think I had one of those as well.
I have a friend I game with who actually did some voices for Leapfrog. I don't know what software, whatever, but he's a voice actor, and I was looking at his credits one day many years ago, and I'm like, oh shoot, he did Leapfrog stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I used to watch a lot of the History Channel before it turned into all aliens and Pawn Stars.
They used to have
this modern one.
One of the weirdest.
There was like the television one with like they had like the guy from Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket. Yeah. He did a series on there. I used to watch that in Modern Marvels all the time. Yep. And then it just like one day hop on, it's like some like fat dude selling stuff at a store.
Another Kubrick film, by the way, Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, I've seen that one. One of my favorites.
Is it? I've got to rewatch it because before I really, really got into film, I loved it up until the end of Boot Camp. And then when they went to Vietnam, I was kind of like, but I want to rewatch it now.
Yeah, I like the Boot Camp scene where like he just yells at everybody. It's hilarious.
And that was all improv too, because he was only going to be in the Jackson, I'm going to get your TV shows. He was only there as a military consultant, right? And he wanted to have that because, of course, he was a sergeant in the Marines. He wanted to have that job, and then he just riffed a little bit, and Kubrick was like, can you do that? So that whole scene of him in the barracks, all off the cuff. Pretty genius.
Yeah.
So, Jackson, what are you watching, if anything?
Recently, again, not much. Last semester, I was watching more. Over the summer, like towards the end of the summer, like last semester, I was going my way through Star Trek.
Yeah.
So Next Generation, Deep Space Nine. I've started Voyager, but it hasn't really pulled me in yet.
Yeah.
I'm just beginning of season two, so I haven't really gotten the characters too much. Literally just a lot of YouTube. That's why I do a lot of my media consumption.
Okay.
So
he's a big fan of Barbado Joe's beard culture.
I doubt that, but I thank you. Yeah. If anyone wants to visit and watch a 50-year-old man go on about beard product, Barbado Joe's beard culture, sure. Subscribe, do whatever you want. Leave a nice comment so I don't have to ban you.
Yeah, and be sure to like all the videos.
Like all the videos. That'd be awesome. Do either of you watch Black Mirror? Or have either of you watched
Black Mirror? I've
heard of it. I've seen clips of episodes.
I've seen
synopsis. Of one of these episodes, but I never watched it myself. So my parents would kill me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when they wouldn't kill you, you being a tech guy, it's amazingly scary in a way that is realistic in most of the episodes. Like, you'd be like, I could see this literally happening. Or I could see this like only having a little shift, and this could happen.
Ah, no, it's Victor taking over the world.
Yeah. Victor taking over the world. But the one I wanted to tell you guys about, anyone out there who loves Black Mirror, because I know some of your listeners will, if they haven't already seen it, they had a one-off episode called Bandersnatch.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Which is a choose-your-own-adventure, which was really cool. And I wanted to do it in class. The problem is there's too much language. And when you can't predict the ending, because you're always making choices, you could get certain words or certain images where I'm like, I can't do that. But that was – it was really innovative. It was frustrating because, if you chose the wrong one, then you would kind of be reset and go back. It was a really unique film experience just for the experience alone, whether you like the content at all. The experience is very worthwhile.
I also heard you recommended, I think it was like you rented Man in the High Castle one time.
I love, if you like World War II alternative history, man, where the Nazis and the Japanese win and they split the United States in essence. That's an amazing.
I'm not joking. This weekend, but next weekend, my Model UN committee is that.
Is that?
It's alternate history, American resistance, America.
He was explaining it's literally just
Man in the High Castle. Are you familiar with it?
I've read like some plots.
It's
good. In fact, the man, in case you guys don't watch it, but spoilers, if you remember the guy who hired Chigurh and Carson, the man in the office and No Country for Old Men,
yeah,
the guy behind the desk, he is the man in the High Castle. Because they finally get to him. Like, it's, I think, in the second season before you finally encounter him. But he is kind of the guy behind all these propaganda films. It's really kind of trippy because they, in their world, they show our real footage, but it's all considered fictitious because it's America winning and America overrunning and America dropping a bomb. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of freaks the Japanese and the Nazis out. Like, where's this coming from? How are they doing? Because it looks so authentic, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got this multi-dimensional stuff. There's even dimensional traveling with some of the characters. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Me and Jackson actually watched, well, I know Jackson said he watched it, and I had to watch it for this thing where I had to analyze TV shows last year's English class. Watched Madam Secretary.
Yeah, I saw
and,
it.
I also watched like a few episodes of The Flash and The Blacklist for that project, which I really got into either of them. But.
Blacklist, I really like James Spader as an actor. Yeah. You know, the problem for me with Blacklist was it was such cookie cutter structure, right? Oh, okay. So we know that this guy that James Spader is playing, he's hunted by the FBI, but he's working with the FBI. And here comes random bad guy number seven. Random bad guy number seven is defeated next week. Random bad guy number nine, right? So
what happened to random bad guy number eight?
He's coming up because they did the Blacklist were these guys that had to be eliminated and they never went in order. So you like Blacklist number 32, Blacklist number 5. Oh, okay. So they never went in order. Plus, you never knew. I imagine this was a plot device. They didn't know how long it would go, so they couldn't tell you. You know, there was a finite amount of blacklisters or else then you're boxing yourself in.
Yeah.
But the structure was such that I my wife and I watched it. And after the second season, I had to say no. Yeah, it's just too much.
Jackson, what did you do for that film thing last year where we had to analyze film and we had to watch a film and analyze gender roles?
I failed that project.
Yeah.
I completely misunderstood the assignment and created like very simplistic representations and got like a B on it.
Yeah.
Because he didn't fail it. He got a B.
Yeah. Or a low B.
I stayed up to like 3 a.m. like every day for that week because we were forced to cram everything into 1 week basically. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to be smart and work on this over spring break. Turns out I was doing a bunch of stuff wrong. So I had to go back and redo it and write the new essay at the same time.
Yeah, it just turned out I just did it.
I didn't like
wrong part of this.
Ugh, yeah. What a pain. That was no fun.
So,
I think we've got to get here to wrap up here.
I have just one quick question. Okay. Why do you drink so much sparkling water?
Two reasons. You're supposed to have 64 ounces of water a day.
Yeah.
So two of those is that amount. That's number one. Second reason is when I do a lot of talking, my throat can get raw, not raw like painful, but I can lose it a little bit. So drinking all the time helps keep me more lubricated.
So why a sparkling water?
Oh, because regular water is just boring. And I prefer soda, but soda has all the calories, which as you can tell, I don't need. So this gives me the effervescence of the bubbles with no calories.
Yeah, because I was watching one of your beard videos and I saw like a dozen bottles.
Yeah, behind me. Yeah, sure. I keep them here and there.
Behind your desk, I would just see it every day and like replenish them every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Apple a day keeps the doctor away and 64 ounces too, I guess.
We're going to wrap up the episode, Mr. Harris.
Sure. Thank you I just want to say thank you for having me on, guys. This is fun. I dig doing this kind of stuff.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. We don't know when the next episode will be. Hopefully sometime soon. But I think we're going to hold this one for a while because we have episode 3 coming out.
Nice.
In a while.
Good.
So this will probably come out sometime over Fox Apple spring break.
Awesome.
Stay tuned.
Bye-bye, guys.